Insecurity created by inequity is implicit in the natural order or by culture. Or male insensitivity created by requirements placed on men by the natural order or by cultural expectations. That is, what I'm saying is, it may be, these are possible aggravating factors, it may be that women are more sensitive because they have had more occasion to be sensitive. That is, women, whether it's by creation or culture, women may have more reason to be sensitive. And it may be that our culture makes men less sensitive than they should be. Let me say this to you, that the thing I do not... Somebody close the doors first, please. The thing we must not equate, fellas, is with men is sensitivity and femaleness, or sensitivity and being sissified. Some men think they're being sensitive and all their being is effeminate. Huh, got a couple of smirks on that one. Understand? They think they're being sensitive, they're just being effeminate. There is no contradiction between being sensitive and being masculine. Right, ladies? And women know the difference between genuine sensitivity in a man and femininity in a man. And women simply need to learn to be patient. Men need to learn to be more sensitive. Women must be more patient. And it takes both, you understand? A man cannot say to his wife, well, if you understand I'm a man, therefore don't expect me to act any different. That is not fair. Because what is the principle? Grace. What does grace say? Grace says that as much as I can, I operate in my relationship with my wife from her point of view. And she, as much as she can, will operate from my point of view. I'm going to give you a part. I try to avoid too much personal illustration, but in our marriage, my wife is extremely feminine. If there was ever a woman, she's a woman, and we've had a tough time meeting in the middle. And I've learned to say to sit down. To leave an extra on certain times, leave an extra 10 minutes and take another cup of coffee and sit down when I really had, when my mind was already in the car and gone. And she still say things like this to me. Now, I need to talk to you. I said, you're going to talk to me now, but you're going to talk to me later. You know, I want to talk to you about something. I know you're busy right now, and so I'll see you later. And she has learned not to interpret. If I, she'll say, you're somewhere else, aren't you? You know, my mind's off somewhere. She'll say, okay, I'll get you later. She's learned not to interpret my, if I'm, on number 7 and heading for number 8 for the day, she's learned not to interpret that as a lack of love or care. Now, some women are just spoiled brats. They want to be noticed every minute and cater to. Most women aren't like that, though. They understand. They don't. Most women are not unreasonable in what they ask. Okay. Any questions on that before we leave that? Very important lesson. Well, next, we're talking about men and women are different. Women tend to be more emotional and intuitional, and men tend to be more logical. Now, I'm not saying that women are not logical. Women are very logical, and men are emotional. We're talking about the weight of the thing. It's weighted. In the long run, in the main, women will often operate at the emotional, intuitional level, men at the logical level. Now, it does not mean that one is bright and one is stupid, one is wise and one is not, and it does not mean that one operates better than the other. For instance, often, women get at things, at the heart of things, more often than men do, or quicker than men do. Some kinds of things. You understand? So it's not a put-down. I don't mean that at all. Now, let me give you an example. If you have a problem, and this overlaps a little bit with what we talked about before, if a woman is upset about something, she's hurting, it may have nothing to do with the marriage, but whatever it is, if a woman is hurting, she is hurting, and she is not helped as much by logic as a man is. Here's how a man operates, ladies. If he's got a problem, and he'll sit down, he'll think it out, and he'll say, "Well, now, what's the worst thing that can happen with this? There are three things I can do, and if I try plan A, that's going to do this, I won't do that, or I'll try plan B, or I'll try plan C." And he'll think about, well, that's the best I can do, is plan B, or if he figures none of them can work, he can't do anything about it. A man can tell himself, well, I might as well quit worrying about it, I can't do anything about it, and go on. Not completely free of the worry, but he can function, understand? He can function. Let me repeat that. A man says this to himself. He'll say it out loud. Well, since I can't do anything about it, I might as well forget about it. You understand? So he loads it in this car, and he hooks on another one and goes on. And if his wife is hurting about the same thing, maybe it's a mutual problem, or it's a problem that they both have, he will often get very frustrated if she doesn't operate that way. He will explain to her that nothing can be done about it. And since it made him feel better, he assumes it should make her feel better. And when it doesn't, he gets sometimes frustrated. You ever have an argument, fellas? You married fellas? Do you ever have an argument that you won, but you lost? That is, you were right, logically, but somehow you didn't win. You had all the arguments, but you thought you did. And pretty soon you find out they didn't win at all. Now, for instance, if a woman is really upset about something, she will talk it over, usually with another woman, because most women have another woman they talk to. And she'll talk it over 6 or 8 times if it's really bad. And this is how she gets over it. She'll just talk it over and talk it over and talk it over. And pretty soon you get this argument in the home. She's still talking about it. He'll say, "For Pete's sake, are you still talking about that? When are you, you know?" You understand? Because he can explain it to himself and feel better very logically. He thinks she can, and she can't. She needs to resolve. She needs to talk it out. See, when a man says talk it out, here's what a man means. Right, fellas? He means, well, if A, then B, therefore C. You know, that's a little syllogistic thinking. You'll think of it very logically. When she says talk it out, that isn't what she means at all. She means, if I'm mad, I want to tell somebody, and I want them to care that I'm mad, and I want to tell them twice. I want to tell them so I'm not mad anymore, so I can live with them. And women will often spend hours with a good friend, another woman. Usually men usually can't hold out for this. They'll often spend hours talking about the same thing if it's really bothering them. Now, it's very, and this causes real problems in marriages, especially young marriages. I can remember times when something would come up and I would diagram it, in effect, for my wife. So it's almost as if I had a blackboard. I'd say, "Honey, now here's our problem, and here's, you know," and I'd explain it to her. And she said, "Did she understand the logic?" She understood the logic perfectly. You know, she's not stupid. She understood exactly what I was saying. And then I would assume, once I'd been through that, that the matter was settled. And it would be very, and I would be, right? And I would be furious the next morning to find out I was right back where I started. And then I would do a very bright thing. I would go over it again, slowly. As if she didn't understand it. She, you know, a little louder, right? You know, and I would go over this whole thing, and I'd explain it to her, you know, and she'd sit there and say, "Uh-huh, yeah, yeah, she understood that," and she understood, you know. See, I was telling her what she already knew. I was treating her as if I was treating her the way I treated myself. See, I'd explain it to myself this way, and it only took once. And I've explained to other men things like that, and men, you know, they understood it once too. And so I go through it again. And she'd say, "Yes, you understand that? Yeah, everything okay? Yeah, everything's fine, you know." And then The day after, 2 days later, it'd come up again. And I think I was going crazy. I was thinking, what does it take? Now, the difference is, see, what I was doing is I was talking to her as if she were a man. And women, women often misinterpret their men as being the cold, silent type. Why don't you ever talk to me? You ever had this happen in your marriages, fellas? You're married. Did she ever say to you, "Why don't you talk to me about this?" And you thought you had. But I did. Didn't you remember? The day before yesterday, remember Wednesday morning? We said, "Don't you remember? We talked about that." Yeah. Why don't you talk to me about it? I thought we did. But you see, she thinks you didn't. Why? Because you just went through it once. You made your point. You went on. Now this affects big things and it affects little things. Now, fellas, let me tell you something. Lest you get too impatient with this, this is one of the things that contributes to what we call femininity that makes our wives so desirable. It is not something we want to try to kill. Do you realize that women can get more delighted than a man can? Women operate more emotional. Women can get lower than a man. In other words, in most marriages, in many marriages, it looks something like this. That a man will go along and his highs and lows will be like that. And her highs and lows will be like this. That is, she gets lower and she gets higher. And here's where you have problems. Understand? Usually down here. Because when she's down here and he's up here, then he will explain it to her why she ought to be up there with him. Very logically. This right? Women, now there are exceptions to this. But if a woman is down, she's down. And if a woman is delighted, she's delighted. And I can just think of hundreds of times when I'm sitting there enjoying myself, my wife is ecstatic. I mean, she's just going crazy. She's, you know, happy as a clam, you know, and chattering on, just really happy. And I've been that happy since I was 8 years old Christmas morning, you know, at least that expressive of it. On other times, fellas, young husbands fail to understand how something that didn't seem to matter that much really puts his wife into the blues, into depression. She really goes down. Often she tries to hide it. See, men are, you understand? And it's because women are, the difference in the lines is that women tend to be more emotional. They tend to operate on emotion. And I'll give you my classic example of this. This is a little thing that doesn't amount to anything. But a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, we had some remodeling done to our house. Had a wall knocked out and a doorway put in. And my wife cannot stand clutter. She's not a real fastidious housekeeper, but our house is always neat. You know, she dusts every day and the beds are made every day. And it's in order. She likes order. And I could just see it coming. She was dreading having to live in that mess. Plaster dust, I could just, as the day approached when the contractors were coming, I could just see the cloud descending. She was really trying to hide it, and of course, and like a dummy, I teach this stuff and I still forget it. I explained to her 3 times what she already knew very well as I did. I explained, honey, you realize that there's no way around it. If we're going to have the house the way we want it, we're going to have to put up with this mess. It only lasts for a few days, and we'll just have to endure it, take a day at a time. And I said, she understood that. You see, I explained it to myself once. It only took me about 3 seconds, and I quit worrying about it. You see, I was perfectly ready because I wasn't going to be there all day anyway. But I was perfectly really, I was perfectly understand with me. It made perfect sense. You put up with the mess for a few days. It looks nice. Fine. I was happy as a clam. But I can just see this coming. This really discomfort having to live in that mess. So I explained to her the 3rd time. And she didn't feel any better the 3rd time than she did the 1st time. And she sat there and, yeah, I know. But I could see And I knew I was being stupid. So I didn't explain it anymore. I remember what I teach. I do that once in a while. And so the day that the contractor showed up, I bought her some roses and a note that said, "Honey, I know this is hard for you." And that helped her more than all three of my explanations. She was still unhappy with it, but it helped her. You see what? And to me, that made no sense whatever. That rose, those roses were expensive. 3 days later, they were dead. I could have bought a nice pair of socks for what I paid for those roses. If I'd have come home and found the coffee table, a bottle of aftershave lotion with a note that said, "Honey, I know this mess bothers you," I'd have had her probated. I'd have thought she's crazy. It made no sense to me. But it helped her. You see, I remember she's a woman, and what she, listen to me, she did not need another explanation from her not too bright husband of what she already knew. What she needed was her husband to care that she was going to be uncomfortable. Understand? To care that she was going to have to put up with something that made her uncomfortable. Right, lady? That's what she wanted. You see, my explanations are a clear example of dealing with her from my point of view. And I assumed it would make her feel better, so I remembered I am not married to another man, for which I am extremely grateful. And if I'm going to have the delightful experience of being married to this very feminine woman, I need to treat her like a woman. Men just don't tune into that most of the time. You see, and men often think, and that's what I used to think. I would think, and this is really shows arrogance. I used to think that because it didn't make her feel better, she didn't understand me. So I'd explain it more carefully. And she understood it, you know, she understood before I, you know, she knew that. I didn't have to tell her that. Does that make sense to you? Now, look at some of the notes in our syllabus here. Women often think successfully where men fail. Certain kinds of things need the woman's touch. Certain kinds of things need the man's touch. For instance, you need both. Let me give you an example where, again, here's a very concrete example, especially in a young marriage, where logic and emotion need to meet. Okay? You've been real busy. You've had maybe a couple of three small arguments. Things are getting on your nerves, and you need some time alone together, right, young couples? Those times come, and you know when those times come. You've been too much in other things. You need to go out to dinner. What do? He will say, "Well, honey, I'd like to take you out, but we can't afford it this week. On a tight budget, especially with students, you got a budget." When do you say, logically, if you figure out the numbers, logically, we really can't afford to go out? Now, what happens if logic rules at all times? Well, it isn't going to work. Why? Well, she needs to come and say, "Honey, I know we can't afford it, but we really need to go out. I need to get out of this house. These kids are driving me crazy. I mean, with the little kids, I need some adult. I need you and me alone," right? They'll say that. Now, when do you do it and when do you not do it? Now, you see, here you need the mixture. If logic is going to be the only consideration, you never go out. You're going to say, we can't afford it. And you'd understand that logically, yeah. And the marriage will suffer. On the other hand, If you rule quickly by emotion, if every time she says, "Hey, let's go out," or if he gets the urge to go out, you throw the budget to the wind and you go out, what's going to happen to the budget? Pretty soon you got other troubles because you can't pay the bills. Right? So you can't go one way or the other all the time. I've known couples that never, well, the man would just, you know, if he didn't have it, you know, if he just couldn't work it out logically, didn't have the spare money, forget it. But sometimes, what I'm saying is, I think you understand, sometimes he needs to listen to, operate from her point of view and say, I know we can't afford it, but we're going to do it. Why? Because right now, I'll figure out some way to, you know, to get the bill paid next week. We'll juggle things for a couple of weeks. We'll work it out, because right now, our marriage needs an evening out more than a perfectly balanced budget. Right? But sometimes she needs to know that, look, we went out last week, or this month we're running a little bit short because we've had this big dentist bill. I'll wait a couple of weeks. That is logic, because I've seen couples get in real financial trouble simply because they couldn't resist the temptation to do things like that, and that can cause trouble. You understand? So you need both. Especially comes in times to raise children. Sometimes my wife thinks things will happen in the home, and I've had to clear my wife out of the way a few times, not very often, because I knew exactly what had to be done. And usually I was right, not always. But sometimes she's had to come to me and say, "Now that's not what Adam needs right now." You know, she picks up on things, emotional. For instance, it makes women more sensitive. I'll say this to you, fellas: chances are your wife will understand your children better than you do, because they touch them at more points. They pick up on things. And I've had to listen to my wife, and she says, "Honey, I think this is how you ought to treat this." And very often, sometimes she's wrong, sometimes I have to say, "No, do it this way." But very often I have to think about it and say, "You know, babe, you're right. I think I need to back off and think about it." And it's in the mixture of the two. Now, what men need to do, when this comes into where problems come up, now listen very closely. Here's grace. Here's meeting in the middle. This is one of the most practical things I can teach you on this point. Men, you need to realize that she already understands the logic of it. Women are not stupid. But you need to realize that women are more in the clutches of their emotions than most men are. They're manipulated by their own emotions more than men are. For instance, a woman will often say, I wish I felt better. Women will say, I wish I weren't so depressed. I'm depressed, I don't want to be. Whereas a man, a man can talk himself out of it. On the other hand, you understand that, man? You need to deal with her realizing that she's more emotional than you are. Women, you need to realize that for most men, when you defy logic, it drives them crazy. That is, when you get down to, yes, I see that, but it's very hard for a man to do something when he can't see the sense in it. And to find himself doing something that defies his logic, it's very frustrating for a man to do that. For instance, if he has explained it, you see, if he has explained it three or four times, and you have not felt better, and he knows you don't feel better, that he's wasted his time, that's hard on him, you understand, because he doesn't understand that. And so this is when you need to whip out your family, your Christian family life notes, and read them to each other, and say, "Look, honey, you realize I'm a woman. Oh, yes, and I'm a man." Isn't that right, men? That is, if you're in a position where it's all very clear to you, and you find yourself being forced to do something that defies your sense of order, it's very hard to take.
Yes.
Yes, and we're more patient. And men need, listen, and men, if you care, you need to show that you care. Say that you care. There was some, you don't need, they do not need another recital of the data. What they often need is for you to say,
I can see this is really hurting you. I wish I could do something about it. I know you're upset. I'm reading now again. Men often fail because they base their conclusions on incomplete data. Men tend to jump to conclusions. You know that? Men tend to do that. We tend to shoot, or to use another metaphor, men tend to shoot from the hip. We tend to think we got all the, especially if a man's upset, he'll operate as if he had the data where he does or not. Men function better as a rule in certain kinds of leadership roles because it requires a strong sense of logic. Women are often superior in ministries to persons. You know that? Women are better in ministering to people. Women are better listeners than men are, and women care easier than men do. You know that? Women tend to care more than men. Women don't have to work so hard to care. For instance, let me give you, women are better counselors than men are. You know that? All other things being, I'm not talking about trained people. I'm not talking about, you know, people with credentials. I'm talking about just common everyday listening and caring. You know why? Because women listen to the emotions, not to the simply to the facts. When I left the West Side Church in Hamilton, the church I hoped it was sorry to see me go, they were devastated to see my wife go. In fact, a couple of them told me they didn't care if I left, as long as I left Linda behind. My wife has an amazing listening ministry. If you want to talk to somebody who knows how to listen, talk to my wife. She's an expert at it. One of my favorite memories is the time I came home from work. There were two teenage boys in the living room. I had two teenage girls in the house. The two teenage boys came to see neither of my daughters. They came to see my wife. They were former friends or boyfriends, which is as friends of my daughters. And they came there because they wanted to talk something over. And they knew that she'd sit down. She's an excellent listener. And she just picks. And women are better at this. They pick up on what people are. They pick up on the hurt. Whereas, what a man tends to do is, okay, tell me your problem in 3 points. Give it to me in an outline, and I'll give you the answer. You understand the answer? Okay, we're done. And a man has to be trained away from that. A trained counselor has to be trained away from that. If a teenager comes to a man and says, most men, unless they're trained away from it, and he says, I'm in a mess. Well, how'd you get in this? And well, I knew I shouldn't have done it, but I did this, and I did this, and I did this. And a man tends to say, that was really stupid, which it was. And he's thinking, well, you made your own bed. You might as well lie in it. Why? And he's, in his mind, he's thinking, well, I told you 4 or 5 times not to do it. Why? Now you come whining to me. And it's all very reasonable. And a woman tends to be more gracious. A woman tends to listen and say, and tune into the hurt. And listen to me. Women listen to their wives better than men listen to their. Women listen to their husbands better than men listen to their wives. Men get more sympathy than women do in most marriages. It's very sad. For these reasons. It is inconclusive how much of this distinction is intrinsic, again, Laurie, and how much is cultural. Because there's no difference in native intelligence. You got that? The difference between men and women in this regard has nothing to do with native intelligence. You understand? The difference is not in intelligence. The difference is in how that is used. You understand? When I say men tend to operate more logically, where very often a woman will operate emotionally, I have not said that men are more intelligent than women. It has nothing to do with it. Now look at this last statement, fellas. Women are generally more emotionally dependent on their husbands for their sense of self-worth than men are upon their wives. Now, much of this is cultural. That is, a man's sense of self-worth is often built into his occupation. It is less likely to be true for a woman. Especially, and let me just give you the ideal or hypothetical situation, fellas. You're a young preacher, and your wife is at home, and she's not working because you've got little ones. Remember this, you go out and you preach a sermon, you get patted on the back. You get visible evidence of your work, of the benefit of your work. People will respect you. You get strokes, as they say. Remember that your wife lives in a world where being, quote, just a housewife is a put-down. When she stays home to raise the children, she's being looked upon by society as being a second-class citizen. Where does she get her sense of self-worth? She gets most of it from you. Most of it comes from you. And most of it's on the emotional level. Let me create a situation for you. I'm trying to be as down to earth and concrete as possible. I don't want to just deal with this stuff in the abstract. She will say, this young wife will say, and I'm quoting, not quoting my wife, but quoting what's actually said, when she gets really good at the end of her rope, she'll say, well, I don't amount to anything anyway. Nobody can, well, sure, she'll say, I don't count for anything. It doesn't matter what I'm just here with the kids all day, and you're out doing your thing. And then he will say something really bright. He will say, now, honey, that doesn't make any sense. You know better than that. He'll appeal to logic. And it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Well, any questions on this before we leave it? Anybody? What do you think about that? Do you agree with it? Disagree? Very, very important. This kind of stuff often makes the difference between a marriage that works and a marriage that doesn't work. Or, I'll also word it this way, between a woman who's happy, really happy, and a woman who isn't. A lot of women are quiet, but they're quietly going crazy. They're quietly unhappy. Because they got a husband who deals with them as if they were men. And a lot of men are upset about half the time because they got a wife who's dealing with them as if they were another, as if they were other women. Okay. Let's continue. These different women more subjective, men more objective. That's kind of an extension of what I had before. Men more easily focus on data, women more easily focus on feelings. And often how a woman feels has little to do with the facts. You got that, fella? Just write that on your heart and know that often how a woman feels has little to do with the facts. Because, listen, it's like this, fellas. Remember I said a woman is holistic? That is, more of what goes on in a woman's world affects her than affects a man. A man can shut things out that a woman cannot shut out. Get that? A man, he just closed the doors. A man can literally partition off and not let so many things affect him. A woman often wants to close the door, but she can't. So more things affect how she feels. They are more subjective, and often some of the things that cause a woman grief are pretty indirect. Let me give you an example. Do you realize that a woman, fellas, is profoundly more affected by what people think of her than you are? You get a problem in the church, the preacher's wife always suffers more than the preacher does. if there are feelings involved. A man, for one, if people really are thinking poorly of a woman, it bothers her. A man, he'll tend to say, "Well, if you don't like me, it's your problem," and he doesn't care. You understand? He just shuts it off. Is this right, ladies? Very true. And sometimes when a husband and wife are talking, he will say things like, "Well, why do you care about that? Or why should that make you mad? You ever say this, fellas? Why does that make you mad? Or surely, you know, that's silly." That, by the way, that's a man's favorite word. That's silly. That's silly to be upset about that. But you've got to understand that that's how a woman feels, which is what makes her more sensitive. By the way, women tend to see the big picture more than a man does of people. Women are better people. Women understand their husbands better than husbands understand their wives. Women understand people better. My wife is a much better... You realize this, that women are better judges of character than men are in most cases? Not in every case. Women are better judges of... You know why? Because they're tuned into more factors. They're tuned into more things. They pick up on things. Things that a man shuts out, a woman picks up on and sees and is aware of. My wife is a much better judge of character than I am. With the exception of a pathological liar. There are pathological liars around, you know. A pathological liar is one who lies persuasively because he believes in himself. I remember we had this guy came through one time. We had some connection. He'd gone to Florida for a while, and he came back. He was really he'd been in jail before, and he came by, and I just knew him as a pathological liar. And I didn't mean, after he talked a while. And he told this big story, and my wife was in tears. And when she finished, when he left, she was upset, and I couldn't believe she believed it. And I said, "Honey, you don't believe in that, do you?" I said, what we got was just a con job. And for some reason, women often get conned. By that kind of pathological personality, but that's the exception. Well, any questions or comments on this? Either the men or the women. I don't want to bore you with this, but it's a very important point. Y'all getting tired? Okay. The next thing we're going to talk about is language. That's kind of a thing I want to talk about all at one sitting. So we'll just stop and we'll stop on our syllabus there. And y'all, do you have any questions or any questions or comments on any of this that we've talked about or anything we haven't? Let me ask you this, students. No, I'm not through with you yet, so don't leave me. Are you finding this helpful? Are you gonna be able to see the? Well, listen. As you think about some of this stuff, I want you to feel free to go back to some of the things we talked before, and if these things come together in your mind and raise questions, well, I want you to feel free to ask them. I have built into this class time for a lot of discussion. This is a dialogue, a lot of room for dialogue.
What are we
going to
be looking at?
Okay, that's a good question. Let me... when do you want the project? Let's set, oh, I've got the date set for May 1st.
May.
The egg, you bring to class on May 13th. The egg, it cannot be boiled. It won't go rotten in a week. I don't want you to spoil your kids rotten. The egg must be brought to class with a name, any directions or clothes you might wish to use, and a basket for carrying. Imagination is encouraged. The egg will be attached to the student's wrist by a 2-foot string, which is taped to the egg and attached to your wrist. So now,
when it's in the basket, does that, when you're carrying the basket, does it still need to be attached?
Yes. The basket, No, it's attached to your wrist.
Even when it's in the basket.
Now, the...
Yeah, how do you cord to it? How do you do it?
Tape it.
With
Scott's magic tape. What? Yes. Just, you provide everything. Now, the name is up to you. I've had all kinds of, you know, Benedict and Yoakum and Shelley, Egbert. That's some real creative ones. You can have, it can be male or female. And here it will be tied, the egg must be at all times between 7 in the morning and 11 o'clock at night tied to the wrist of the student or the wrist of a designated babysitter. Now, so you've got to arrange a babysitter. Now, if you go to work, some of you have special, when you go to work, can you find someone to babysit? If you can't, come and talk to me about it. The only time I will ease up on this is like if you go to work and you have to take it with you and put it up somewhere where you can, you know, nearby. You don't have to. I realize that's not practical. Leave it tied to your wrist at work.
What do we do now?
If you could, only during working hours. Understand? You can take it. You can take it with you, but you don't have to leave it tied to your wrist. Now, listen to me. Listen to me. That is only during working hours. Now, if you go out for the evening or you have a class, you got to find a. You got to take it with you or find a sitter, an egg sitter. The mate of the student enrolled in the Christian family life may not take over the responsibility of baby A. Any fellas?
That's the way it would be in real life.
No. That is, you can't turn it over to your wife, what I'm saying, or your husband. That is, they can sit for you, but you can't turn the responsibility over for them. They may only serve as an occasional sitter. If the sitter damages the egg, the student is responsible. Now, we've had eggs come in taped up and... you can't drop a baby. The egg may be put to bed for the hours between 11 o'clock and 7 a.m.
Now, I think that's a little late for a kid to be going to bed at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Get real. That's,
you can't drop the kid when you're going to go to bed earlier.
Is this a new problem?
I don't know, but... Or when you go to bed, the big kid goes to bed. Listen, the egg is to be... Yes?
What about when you get up in the morning? Like, I'm a morning class this day, so I don't get up at 7 o'clock.
Okay. Whenever you get up. wait a minute. No, on the getting up, no, you got to get up at 7. Kids get you up.
Yeah.
right. listen, I should keep you to the 11 o'clock hour. That is, but you
every 4 hours.
But I realize some of you have to sleep. But listen, 7 o'clock, you have to get up at 7. Kids get you up. Listen. Quiet, students. Quiet. The egg is to be diapered and be changed every 4 hours, except for sleep time. I'm letting you off there. You don't have to get up in the middle of the night and change the baby. I'm letting you off, right? Okay. It must be washed and dried twice a day, morning and evening. Must be held and cuddled for at least a half hour a day. It must not be cracked or broken. If this happens, it will seriously affect the grade on this project. I don't like dead eggs.
Can we package it up real nice, like surround
the
newspaper?
How do you want to do it? You can be creative, but don't. You can't close it in something. You understand? The kid has to be able to breathe. Now, the purpose of, yes.
If we had a mentally handicapped child in there, put in a straight jacket, would that be okay?
No, no. Now listen, the purpose of this is to give you some sense of the responsibility and the otherness that is involved in having a child.
And creativity does help a great.
Creativity. Listen, those who have had, I'm letting those who have had, who have children off this because they know that this project is easy compared to the real thing, right? It's really easy compared to the real thing. That is, I have never known an egg yet to spit up on you. Eggs don't, you know, there's something about a dirty diaper.
They don't aim at you.
They don't aim at you. That's right, when you change the diaper.
Aim at you.
Okay. Now this will be a lot of fun, and you'll learn a lot. Language. This is very important. I really feel badly that so many of our students are missing today. I mean, I genuinely do, because I think this is one of the more important. If I had to rate two or three of our topics, which are the most important, this would be one of them. The importance of communication is an axiom in family, in discussion of the family. If you ask, you can study all the experts in family life, those who deal with it from almost any point of view, secular or whatever, and you get, they don't agree on many things, but they will agree on this, that if a family is in trouble, that there's a communication problem. Now, many feel that that communication is the whole problem. Give me a picture of that. Communication is the whole answer. It's like I want to make sure you don't hear me saying something that I'm not saying. It's sort of modern to say, well, if the family can communicate, they can get along. It'll work. You know, if a kid will get in trouble with drugs, and they'll say, well, there was no communication. Well, that's like this modern business about education. Well, we just need education. Well, you don't need education. It's not enough to say you need education. The question is, what are you going to teach? You're not going to solve a problem with bad education or thin education. And so it is with communication. It's not enough to say, well, if we can get them talking, that'll do it. No, what are you going to talk about? It's not enough to talk. What are you going to say? So I am not offering communications, I want to make it very clear, as the be-all and end-all, as the panacea for any problem in a marriage or in a family, between husband and wife or between parent and child. But it is very important. Now, and we are talking about the fact that men and women are different. And we need to work on this because men and women often fail to communicate because they're different. Men talk the way men do and listen, and women talk and listen the way women do. And as I say in my notes here, we need to make our marriages into great friendships. You recall when I was talking about the courtship period, engagement period, I said that when a couple gets physical too early, too soon, then they don't develop a relationship. And there's a real temptation to do that. It was interesting that when my oldest daughter, who's now very happily married a great fella, he's in the military, and they could not see each other. And they did most of their courting, to use an old term, over the phone. And they feel like, and I was talking to Angela about it, she said they felt like they really got to know each other because they spent hours and hours just talking, because you can't do a whole lot of making out over a phone. It's very inconvenient. right, Kim?
Yep. And and so they really, they felt like they developed a real good relationship because they had, they would, their phone bill was something, but they would spend hours and hours and hours on the phone, talking, communicating. They had to. Now, and we need to make our marriages into great friendships. I feel very sorry for a man and a woman who are married to each other and may have a good sexual relationship. They may honestly feel they love each other, but they're not really good friends. And if you can't be good friends, don't you? You don't make a very good husband and wife team. Just good friends. Well, this comes through conversation, among other things. Now, often the newly married face the task of making eros into agape. Not always, but very often. Now, this is very important. For a man, this is something to know, and most women don't know this, and most men don't know it, you have to be taught it. A conversation has direct value, a conversation has value in direct proportion to the importance of that which is being discussed. Men think in terms of agenda. Women, on the other hand, they use language that way, that is, to transfer information, to communicate at that level, in that sense. But a woman goes beyond that. For a woman, a conversation can have value in and of itself, intrinsic value. What I'm saying is this, that conversation is something more to a woman than it is to a man. I'll put this little example. This has happened in 100,000 marriages. She'll say, "Honey, let's talk. We need to talk." And he'll say, "Okay." He'll say, "What about?" Or, "Has something happened?" Or, "What's up?" Or, "Sure, honey, what's the matter?" "Honey, let's talk." "Okay, what's the matter?" Well, she can't think of anything that's happened of earth-shaking importance. Maybe there is something that's happened, but there hasn't. She'll say, "Well, never mind." And he'll say, "I wonder what that was all about." And that really happens. Trust me. Or something like that. You see, for a man, a conversation is the transferring of information. For a woman, it is that, plus it is also closeness. And here's the rule, fellas. Those that are married or will be married or hope to be married, if you can find anybody silly enough to have you. Well, Book, you know, his problem is by the time he finds a girl silly enough to have him, she's so silly he doesn't want her. Fellas, those of you who hope to be married by the grace of God or are married, listen to this. A woman finds it difficult, if not impossible, to feel close to anyone with whom she does not talk at length and with regularity. Conversation for a man is transferring information. For a woman, it is that plus it is closeness. Conversation, it's a rule, just learn that. Conversation is closeness. Okay, that's the first thing to note. A woman simply, most women have a talking partner. If their husband is the talking partner, then they usually have two talking partners. Most women have another woman as a talking partner, at least one other woman. Is this right? It's a talking partner. It may be a sister or a mother or just a good friend. But if they need to talk, they got somebody they can call up and talk. Many a man has come home from work and he says, "Honey, I tried to call you for all afternoon. How long have you been on the phone?" And she'll say, "Oh my," she'll look at the closet. "I guess it was 45 minutes. It was really an hour and a half." She always underestimates it. And he'll say, "What in the world could you see?" A man, most men have never
talked on the phone for 45 minutes in their whole life at one time. Unless it's a very unusual circumstance. You understand? And the idea for a man, that just boggles his mind. And he'll say, what in the world could you have been talking about for an hour and a half? And she'll say, oh, nothing. or just this and that, or something. And he's frustrated, he really is. Sometimes he's mad. You know, this. He said, I can't believe, no, how can you talk for an hour and a half about nothing?
And then give you verbatim the whole conversation.
Yeah.
As if you really want to tell.
That's right. Now, so most men don't understand this. Men tend to have short conversations. If they have a long conversation, it's about a very important matter to them. So, men need to learn, and I hesitate to use this word because it seems that I'm putting it down, but I am not. Men need to learn the art of what's called small talk. And some men are good at it and some aren't. What happens is often a fellow will do better at it while he's dating the girl. After marriage, he quits. And a wife will often say this, before we were married, you used to sit by the hour and talk to me. And now I can't get a word out of you. And now I have to make an appointment. Women really say this. And they're usually right. They're usually correct. So women I'm not putting them down. It's maybe, fellas, one of the reasons women live longer. If a woman is hurting, or she's upset, or she's excited even, her first reaction is she's got to tell somebody. She really feels that way. And she's hurting. It's really good. Men, if something is bothering a man, his first reaction is to clam up. He'll say, as he won't speak up and she won't shut up. She'll just pick up, you understand? Something is really happening. If a good woman upset, she'll reach for the phone, talk to somebody, she'll repeat herself. She'll say the same thing several times. My wife knows this. The other night, we've had a things that upset my wife lately, and she said, I just need to talk it out. She knows. She'll just say the same, have the same conversation 4, 5, 6 times, depending on the degree of feeling about the thing, until she feels better. Men tend to get ulcers more than women do. A man wants to clam up, go walk by himself, think it over, and be mad, or whatever he's going to be. And it really causes a problem. So, my wife has learned this. She'll say, and of course we talk about it, we recognize this. And we haven't changed any, we just recognize it. We've changed a little bit. I've changed. But the way I've changed is, I've learned this, is I'm the natural born sphinx. I mean, my idea of a good time is a monastery. I mean, one of the contemplative orders where you're allowed to talk 4 times a year, to a certain person. That's my idea on what I'm doing in the teaching ministry. I'm a natural born hermit. I was born out of my time. I should have been a monk of the Middle Ages. But my wife she'll say to me, if she knows I'm really busy and distracted, she'll say, I want to talk to you about this. Not now. We'll talk about it later. But I want you to talk to me. You owe me this. I'll talk to you. I know. I will do that. Or sometimes she'll say, give me 10 minutes. I need to talk with you. Or now what she says is, this is a very smart woman I'm married to, she started out with, let's talk, and I'd give her this, oh, what's come up, what's happened? And then she went to, I just need to talk to you. Which she's sending a signal, I need some closeness. I need to get this, I got some garbage I need to get out. I need to get this thing sorted out. Now she says, very often, I need you to listen to me.
She says, tell me. I need you to listen to me. I know it's time to get a cup of coffee and, you know, change the plans and go off to our favorite corner where we do this kind of thing and just listen. Go out, you know, on the patio or something and sit. Listen. And the great secret, fellas, is that you feel the closeness that she knows is already there. Men become closer to their wives by talking, just long conversation. But you see, women already knew it. A man discovers it. A man finds it out when he tries it. Women knew it all along. So the rule is, for a woman, conversation is closeness. Now, I'm not saying that women do not talk about important things. Understand? It's that, you ever have
this has happened.
This has happened. It still happens in my house, and I teach this stuff. We'll be talking something like, we'll have to make a decision about something, and we'll sit down and talk it over, and then I'm done. You know, once the decision is made, I'm ready to go on to other things, you know. She'll say, wait, don't leave yet. I'm not through. where are you going? I'm always finished with the conversation before she is. And where she used to kind of resent it, now she'll say, I'm not finished yet. Just sit there and listen to me. She's telling me, she knows I'm not very bright. And I have to, what she's saying is, I'm a woman. Treat me like a woman. Which is fair, isn't it? It's fair. She asked that. Any questions on that? Let me ask you, do you think this is true? It's true of most men and most women. Any comments or questions before we move on? Yes.
What I'm getting at of this is that men should start listening to women more. Should women shut up more?
Well, I don't think so. Not unless there are reasons for that. Women would talk less. The way we meet as near to the middle as we can, as often as we can, which is our rule in this, based on the principle of grace. The rule is that we meet in the middle. How do we do that? Well, for a man, I've already said, needs to sit down and listen and talk. It's great. I love it. Once I get into it, it's great. It's getting into it that's the problem with me. You know, it's changing gears. It's hitting the brake, stopping and sitting down and just talking. Well, one of the things we've done is we try to, various times of the year, depending on our schedule, like on Saturday morning, get up and we like to go to the farmer's market in Winter Park and then go out for breakfast. And that's sort of Saturday morning, kind of our time to talk and catch up on the week and what's happening and what do we look forward to this week and how are we doing? Yes.
What we do, we don't have long conversations at home because usually the phone will ring or someone will want something. We try to find times when we go to the mall or go out somewhere like that, and that's when we get, like if she's got something on her mind, she wants to go out, that's when we do. We don't usually do it at home.
Well,
and it seems to work out either because she's not going to blow up at the mall.
Yeah, not going to hit you at McDonald's, right? Yeah, that's a good idea. You go out somewhere. It's interesting that when I was in the local ministry, we used to have to take the phone off the hook to eat supper so we could talk. And I didn't mind, and I never rebuked the people. I wanted the people to call me, but we just they just get a busy signal until we finished eating. And one of the reasons we camped so much in the years our children were growing up, because we bought a camper because we could not have time off at home. We could not just take a day off and have a family at home because there would be something come up and people would call you if you're not there. And we wouldn't take off if somebody was, on the verge of dying or, something like that. But we'd just take off and get away from the phone. You have to have that time alone, not just with your wife and your children. But a man needs to learn the art of small talk, to sit down and listen and talk. It's great. But fellas, it's not a lesson that you learn once and then you carry it with you the rest of your life. You got to keep reminding yourself. What women need to do, this is to answer your question, is that they need to be more patient and realize and not misinterpret this. Women need to do two things. Women need to tell their husbands, look, I need... See, often a man doesn't know what she wants. For a long time, I didn't know what my wife wanted. I'm a man. If a man says, let's talk, I knew what he, something would come up. And if I said, we need to talk, something would come up. And I assume that that's what she meant. You understand? You got to be fair and tell him, look, nothing's happened. I just need to talk to you. I'm a woman. And she does that now. Or like I say, she'll even say, I need to listen. I need for you to listen to me. She'll say, just sit there and listen to me. I'll just sit and listen. And I will enjoy it.
But you have to sit there. And look at her while she's.
That's right. You cannot read your Greek text.
You can't be walking around.
Undivided attention. You can't watch television. You got to listen to her. In fact, where we go is in the room. There's no television.
When you listen, do you give your? I found this that we're not married yet, where we're in the room. And when you're talking, I like response instead of a nod of the head or yes. And I think you respond, and they don't know how to. Do you respond? Do you give your point of view? Oh yes.
You talk.
Or do you just sit there and listen?
Well, sometimes if she's really mad or upset or something, I'll just listen. And add a few comments, kind of prime the pump. But I'll talk about that later. But no, you're part of a conversation. But it's primarily listening sometimes, depending on what's come up and what the situation is.
How do you give your point of view to see that this body guy what we think is important? They don't feel that it is important. They're a lot more surface about things than what we see is important. They know. In a lot of cases.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get them to
bring them to this
line in there? It's hard to bridge that to make them.
Bring them to this class and let me tell them. See, if a man needs to know that if a woman is feeling distant from her man, that's as important as any other thing. There's nothing more important than that. Understand? This is important. And once a man sees that, he's willing to spend time. The problem is he just doesn't naturally see that it's important. Let me tell you the reason. If a man has got something on his mind, he'll talk it over with himself. Explain it to himself, think it over, and then he's finished. He doesn't need that most. And now there are times when he does. But those are unusual times when he wants to, really needs to, usually he's furious and he needs to let somebody know he's furious. But normally, as things come along, he doesn't need to talk about everything.
How do you teach a small talk or just to talk?
Tell him, just lay it out.
Even if you tell him, some guys are very difficult. They're very matter of fact, and they can't just.
You say, look, honey, if this marriage is going to work, you're going to have to learn the skill of small talk. I need that as much as I need food. I need to talk with you. That's all the answer I can give you to make them understand. Some men, it's very hard. It's with me. It wasn't me.
No.
I think
people are
confused. They don't understand.
Well, this is on tape. You can pick it up on the platform. I'm serious.
They don't have. They can't understand what you're talking about. They try. That's what I'm trying to say. How do you get them to?
Well, you can't. They never will fully understand it. For instance, I do not fully understand, in the sense of feeling it, why she needs. If she's really upset, if I've been busy and she's been busy, she needs time just to talk. In other words, she needs that to feel close. I already feel close. I don't feel that sense of separation, but she does. Now, I can't fathom that, as you say. I cannot, but I have to take her word for it. This is called dealing. Remember how I prefaced this? Men deal with their wives as if they were other men. Women with their husbands as if they were other women. This is a clear example. I have to deal with her as a woman, not as another man. And I have to understand that. And she has to do the same with me. So sometimes she will say to me, now I know you don't think this is important, but it's one of her favorite, you know, I know you don't think this is important, but you know, what she's saying is, look, this is woman talking. I need to talk sort of with you.
Is there an underlying reason for this why they are this way?
I have no idea why, but it's true. There are some men who are very good at this. There are exceptions to everything. Some men are very good at it. This is why, by the way, couples who travel together tend to be close. Because when you're in the car, you know, unless you've got a tape deck that you can't shut off, you just talk and talk. My wife and I have some of our best, I think one of the reasons our marriage has been such a good marriage, you know, we do have a good marriage, I'm not ashamed to say that. But I think one of the reasons that it has been a good, that during the years when our children were small and take a lot of your time and energy, you don't have time to do much, we did a lot of traveling. We've been out west every 3 years, I mean, for a month or 3 weeks. And we spent hours and hours in the car just talking. And to me, that was the best part of the vacation. You know, that was the greatest benefit of it, not the fun times and all that. The memory, we built great memories, but just that we would have had two, because I was always going to school and or teaching, and she had the children, you know, at home, and we were always doing things. And after a vacation, it really kind of restored our marriage. Not that it was any problem, you know, but it just renewed it, rejuvenated it, because we'd spent 2 or 3 weeks, a week, you know, 8 days one way and 8 days back, just 10 hours a day. That's a lot of time. And just talking. But you have, the best way to do it, Lord, you have to get it out. That's why we have a class like this. You have to get it out front and say, look, this is what's going on. If you know what's going on, you can deal with it. Doesn't mean that he will always sit down. Sometimes a man just is so distracted. Men tend to focus. Remember I said men work atomistically? When a man is focused, he's got momentum. My wife can see when I've got momentum. And she'll say to me, as I said before, she'll say, I know you can't do it now. But this morning later on, you know, or tomorrow, I'm going to make an appointment. We're going to talk about it. I need to talk to you. Before, she would get real angry, you know, she'd get hurt. See, women misinterpret it. If a man says, I don't want to talk about that right now, I don't feel like talking or something, she'll misinterpret that. Because you understand, he doesn't know where she's coming from, but she doesn't know where he's coming from either. She'll misinterpret it. Well, he doesn't love me, doesn't care anything about me, I'm nothing to him. And he doesn't feel that way at all. Understand? To him, you just have not given him a topic that's important enough to turn him off at that point. A man's focused, he's thinking about one thing, he's doing something, and for you to detour him over here to talk, he's got to have something very important, you know, that's more, in other words, you say, don't do that, come and talk to me. The way a man thinks is, well, if I'm going to change my direction and not do what I was going to do, not think about what I'm thinking about and talk to you, what you had to talk about has to be more important than what I was going to do. And if it's not more important, I'm not changing. And what he has to learn is that just that the very fact that she's a woman and needs this for closeness means it is important. At least to do it sometimes. But sometimes a woman, her grace, her giving is, she realizes that right now this is not a good time. Right now, he needs to deal with this. When he gets to take care of this, then we'll talk. See, it depends. So sometimes we do. Do you see what I'm saying? My wife doesn't demand that I talk with her every time she feels like talking. On the other hand, so, because she knows that's not realistic. On the other hand, I do not claim the right to always say, well, no, wait, I don't have time right now. Sometimes I have to change my plan. Or sort of working into your plans.
When a man has a problem and he needs to do a problem at the time, does that take some of the things or everything else?
Well, yes. Men tend to think in terms of agendas. I'll deal with this. That's more important. Then I'll deal with this. And I'll deal with this. Well, this is a very important lesson. You talk about a secret to a good... You talk about communication, the problem in communication. If a man and a woman understand this, then, and can talk about it and say and recognize it, that's the best thing. Say, look, this is how we work. And not misunderstand each other, misinterpret each other. It really, take my word for it, it's a tremendous help to a marriage. Okay. Any questions on that? The next thing is about communication and language is that, and this creates a problem, men use words specifically, women use words less specifically. And I don't know why this is. It's the difference between a rifle and a shotgun. Men use a rifle, women use a shotgun with language. I'm going to tell you why I think it is. That is, a man, underline the word, intends to say exactly what he means. I'm not saying a man always says exactly what he means. When a man talks, he thinks he's saying. He intends to say precisely what he means. Now hear me, ladies. And a man assumes that anybody who talks to him means exactly what they say. That is a male assumption. A woman, on the other hand, especially when they communicate with other women, they use language that is more emotional and less categorical. Women are better communicators than men are. Especially, and women communicate with men better than other men do if they have time. But women communicate with other women much better, more efficiently than men communicate with other men. Why? Because women hear what is meant. A woman can hear what somebody means, whether it's a man or a woman. You got that? A man can only hear what is said. You understand? Because he thinks he means it. He thinks he's saying exactly what he means. This has happened. If you're married, hadn't been married very long, this will bring him back a memory, I'll bet you. She'll say something to him, and he'll get really furious. And he'll say, why would you say something like that? And she'll say, I didn't say anything. All I said was, and then she'll repeat it, which is what he thought she said. And then he's even more angry. And he'll say, that's what I thought you said. And she'll say, well, what was wrong with that? And then he'll repeat what she said. Why would you say, this is what you said? And then she'll say, now you know I didn't mean that. Why do you pick on, it makes me so mad you jump on every little word. Pick, pick, pick. You know, why do you do that to me? She'll say, you pick on every little word. And the poor guy doesn't have the foggiest notion what's going on. He is so, by now he's furious. He slammed the door. And why? You know, how can he have a conversation with something like this? Now, the problem that she had is, you see, she can talk to her friend, and she can just sort of dump the words out. Whatever first comes to her mind, she can just say it. And the friend sorts it out. Her friend sorts it out, listens between the lines, calls out, you know, and the words that are like I call horseshoe words. They're not ringers. They're close enough, you know. For a woman talks like a man plays horseshoe. Close counts. And she'll say something close, but her friend knows exactly what she means. We got this. In fact, it's spooky. Women are excellent. We got a joke in our house. It's called I created. It's a game. We call it antecedents. I call it antecedents. You see, it's very frustrating to a man. Women don't use antecedents to their pronoun. You see, in the English language, the antecedent to a pronoun is the noun that came immediately before it. For instance, if you're talking about Joe, and you say in the next sentence, he said this, it's assumed that he refers to Joe. For a man, for a woman, it will refer to Joe, or it will refer to what she was talking about the day before yesterday. And my wife and my daughters switch pronouns. They'll just right in the middle of it, and then I heard other women do it. They'll just talk along, and you think you're talking about one thing, and you'll say, she did this, and you'll say, I never knew that. Well, not her. You know, see, a man follows the rules, he listens according to the rules of language. A woman, if she changes her, she'll just switch right in the middle of everything. And the spooky thing is, another woman knows exactly what she means. My wife and her sister can stop in the middle of a sentence in February and pick it up in April. And know exactly, and often My wife's sister will interpret, will translate for me. This is, I know exactly she's there. I know exactly, and she knows exactly what she means. In fact, we got this joke in our house often, and my sons are, I've taught my sons this. They play the game at Lucino. I will say to my wife, I say, honey, I just want you to know that I love you dearly. And I just think it's the greatest thing to be married to you, and I'm really enjoying this conversation. In fact, but I would enjoy it a whole lot more if I had some idea what we're talking about. You know, tell me what we're talking about. Who he? right? And
now they don't like using proper names. They don't like using proper names because, well, they said this.
Yeah. Women cheat on language. Women don't bother, you know, if they can't find, for a woman, if she can't find the right word, any old word will do. If it's close. She just throws it out, expecting you to make the adjustment. Well, other women make the adjustment. Men don't. Did you know that? Now, a lot of arguments have been caused in marriage, especially young marriages, where, when, he thinks she meant it. You see, a woman when a woman is talking to another woman, especially when she's upset, she knows the other woman can hear what she means. And when her husband can't hear what she means, she interprets that as he doesn't care. She can talk to her friend. You see, women get very sensitive because they think their husbands aren't judging them. Why can't you just listen to me, she'll say. Why do you keep picking on everything I say? The answer is he's trying to figure out what you're talking about. That's why he's picking on it. And she misinterprets that. Misinterpret, you understand? She thinks he's being critical. He's just trying to comprehend. Now, is this true, fellas? This is exactly true. It's very frustrating to a man. I mean, teach, and listen, especially if a woman, now hear me, fellas. Now, men do this too, but a man really has to be upset to do it. But if a woman is upset, she doesn't have to be very upset. She's got to use her shotgun. Not only does she use a shotgun, but if she's upset, she's going to fire that thing. And if the correct target is not handy, she'll shoot at any available target, which is often the husband. Did you ever get really chewed out for something that you had nothing whatever to do with? Your wife is mad at A, you're B, and she unloads on you. We call this in our house the war in China syndrome. I once said to my wife in our first year of marriage, I said, honey, I believe if Russia declared war on China, you'd blame me. And it's been a family joke ever since. Here's what used to happen. My wife would be hurt, upset about something, and boy, she'd just really let me have it. And I was innocent. And you know, men are very arrogant. Especially some of us, and a man, if you jump on a man for something he didn't do, he really gets indignant. I mean, it infuriates him. And what I used to do is, before I learned, I'm telling you, fella, this class is practical. This is practical. What I used to do when I was young, before I learned all this stuff, when my wife would aim the shotgun at the nearest target, which was me, I'd get real huffy and I'd say, that's not fair, you know. And then I'd explain to her why it wasn't fair. And I'd go, you know, and I was right. You know, but I realized that we were not even communicating at all. And so I learned the art, and I'll pass this on to you, no royalties required, the art of mumbling and shuffling your feet. It's a wonder, it'll do wonders for a marriage in a tough situation. You come home, fellas, and something has happened to her that's really hurt her. And she unloads on you. And what she said, and it's not fair, you don't deserve that. What you do, rather than defend yourself, you realize that you are the target because you're there, not because you're the target, the real target. What you do is you mumble and you shuffle your feet. You'll say, boy, that must have really upset you. Then you're done for the next 10 minutes because she's good for 10 minutes. Yes, and boy, then she'll go again, you know. So it's also called priming the fire. You sort of mumble and shuffle, you know, you just sort of mumble and shuffle your feet. And then when she runs down, you say something like, "Well, that I can see why that would upset you." "Well, I think so." And then she's good for another sound. And she's going, you know, it's also called priming the pump, you see. And pretty soon she'll hit the right target and you'll find it wasn't you after all. You understand? Pretty soon she's aiming off here at that's what she's really angry at, and you haven't hurt, you haven't got a fight, you don't sleep on the couch that night. And by the time you've mumbled and shuffled your feet long enough, pretty soon you find out what the real problem is, and she talks about it. You understand? Because she wasn't attacking you at all. It's just you were handy. Women, you know, sometimes a woman not only uses a shotgun, she uses a sawed-off shotgun, you know, where the person that shoots it isn't safe. Now, what a man tends to do is something like this. A man doesn't always jump on his wife. Sometimes he does. But often he'll make stupid statements, which are not true. When he's really up, he'll come home, he slammed the door, and he said, "I am quitting that stupid job. I'm going to walk in that to my boss in the morning, and I'm going to take my resignation, and I'm going to put it right under his fat nose. Nobody's going to treat me like that. I am quitting this." And then he's real. And then she'll say something real bright, like, "Now, honey, why do you always say this? You know you can't quit." Which is logical. Which really helps him, doesn't it? Oh, then, of course, now he's not only angry at his boss, he feels like a fool, because he has made a fool. See, listen, ladies, when a man makes a fool of himself, and he does it regularly, it's not always bright to point that out to him. Doesn't help. See? So when you say, "Now, why do you say such silly things? You know you're not going to quit." Then he's really mad. I mean, he'll have to throw something, kick the dog, strangle the goldfish, you know, stomp out. What you do is you do what he did, what I was talking about before, you prime the pump. You say, "Well, something awful must have happened at work today." "Yeah! And he's good for 15 minutes. I mean, he's really going. And then when he runs down, you prime the pump again. You say, "Well, boy, that must have really hurt your feelings." "Yeah, you see, it's a great gift to a fellow." You see what I'm saying? But men do that only when they're really upset. Women, you learn that rule? The difference in conversation. For a man, simple communication. For a woman, closeness as well as communication. Women do not always say what they mean. They say what they feel very often. Now, I'm not saying women do not say what they mean. I'm simply saying that they do it in a more, they don't do it in such a precise way. And the more angry they are, or hurt they are, the less precise they are in their language. And what women need to do, a lot of women have hurt their husbands because they didn't say what they meant. And here's the rule for men, for you ladies. Listen, always remember, he thinks you mean it. Whenever you say something to him, he thinks you mean exactly what you said. Don't we, fellas? That's just the way we operate. That's just our assumption. You got that? So here's grace. Ladies, remember, he thinks you mean it. Men, remember, she may not mean it. Try to learn to listen to how she feels. Forget the words. Sometimes. Listen to how, you understand? Listen to the hurt. Listen to the concern. Forget about the words. Sometimes. Oh, that's handy. You can't, can you? Talk about useful in communication. Often, couples have spent 45 minutes shouting at each other, have never communicated. There's never been a meeting of the minds. Why? Because she is talking to him like he was another woman, and he thinks he's talking to another man. It isn't that way at all. Well, any questions or comments on that? Bigger examples? Anybody want to contribute to the wisdom here?
Somebody must have.
Well, Enid, listen, if you're not married, some of these boyfriend, these fiancé fights. Oh, yeah. It's a good thing to know. For you, one of my... I can remember one time my wife and I had a conversation and she was really going at it and I took my handkerchief out and waved it in surrender. I said, use words, use words. Words, give me words.
Yes.
Put your hand over here. See, there's two assumptions, there's two problems there, which for the benefit of the tape could hear. Often if a guy's got a problem and a woman tries, his girl or his wife tries to help him, give him some advice, he resents it. Two things. Number one, see, she's assuming that like another woman, he would welcome that. And secondly, he's arrogant. Men are arrogant. I should remember that. I'm not, but all of the men. All other men are arrogant. We really are. Women are not as a class, are not as arrogant as men are. And really, men have less to be arrogant about, in my opinion, but that we are. We might as well admit it. A man has pride, and his pride really is a stumbling block very often. For instance, a woman will often speak to another woman. If she's messed up, she'll call her wife up and she'll say, I did a silly, I mean, she'll call. Her wife will call up her good talking, her talking buddy. She'll pick up the phone and she'll say, you're not going to believe the stupid thing I did today. I did the silliest thing. You know, and I can't believe I did it. And she'll talk, and she'll feel very free saying something like that. You ever hear a man do that? A man will bluff it very often. Unless he's... unless he's... In other words, a man will often admit...